there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back, listeners. Today, Horror for the Holidays presents a mysterious and terrifying tale about a real-life werewolf. I'm your host, Jeff Searcy.
I'm Jay Logsdon.
And today, we are delving into the mysterious and terrifying world of werewolves.
Yeah, what's the deal with them werewolves?
What is the deal with them werewolves, Jay? Today we're heading down to Talbot County, Georgia, Jay, to explore a tale that's been whispered about for generations. The Beast of Talbot County.
Ooh.
Our story begins in the early 1900s in the small rural town of Woodland, Georgia. Woodland was a typical southern town known for its sprawling farmland, dense forests, and its close-knit community. But behind the quaint facade, there lurked a dark secret, Jay. It all started one hot summer night in 1910. The residents of Woodland were accustomed to the sounds of nature, chirping of crickets, rustling of leaves in the wind, but this night was different. The symphony of the night was interrupted by a chilling howl unlike anything anyone had ever heard in the area before. Imagine being a young farmer named Henry Walker. You're out in the field, finishing up your work as the sun sets. Suddenly the air grows thick and still. You hear it in the distance, a howl so eerie it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You've heard wolves before, but this sounds different. It sounds almost human.
Ooh.
Henry wasn't the only one who heard the howl. The entire town was on edge. Over the next few weeks, livestock began to disappear. Farmers would wake up to find their chickens, goats, and even cattle mutilated in the most gruesome ways. Everyone in town was scared. They organized night watches, hoping to catch whatever was responsible. But the beast, whatever it was, remained elusive. One night, the town's blacksmith, Samuel Turner, took matters into his own hands. Armed with his rifle, he decided to track the creature himself. He followed the tracks into the woods. They were unlike any tracks he'd seen before. Large, almost human-like feet, but with deep claw marks indenting in front of each toe. As he ventured deeper, he felt like he was being watched. His heart began to pound, but he pressed on. Samuel followed the tracks to a clearing. What he saw there would haunt him for the rest of his life. It stood there, covered in fur, standing on two articulated legs. Its eyes glowed in the moonlight, and its dagger-sharp teeth shined. It was a werewolf, he thought. It must be. It was the only thing that made sense. He raised his rifle, but before he could shoot, it let out a deafening roar and lunged at him. He fired, but it was too fast. It knocked him to the ground. He thought he was done for, but as he looked up, it was gone. It looked as if it recognized him from the edge of the clearing and then vanished into the woods. So, Jay, what do you think about this werewolf?
I mean, first of all, I'm surprised it took us this long, I think, to really get to werewolves, because yeah. I know, like, I'm pretty sure werewolves are, like, your favorite kind
yes,
of supernatural
creature.
They are
my favorite monster.
And also, I've never, you know, we live in the Midwest, and maybe that's part of it. I've never even heard of this. Mm. You know, the werewolf story that I've heard of is Bray Road in Wisconsin.
Yes, I have heard that one.
And so, like, that's the, you know, so, like, that's kind of what I was expecting. And so, you know, maybe it's a Midwest thing, maybe it's that Georgia has all sorts of other cool stuff.
Could be.
That, but yeah.
Yeah, so apparently you can visit this werewolf's grave.
Ooh. Road trip.
Yep. I was just thinking that. Samuel survived the encounter, but he was never the same afterwards. He became a recluse, rarely leaving his home, and when he did, he was always armed. The town, now more terrified than ever, sought help from a local expert, Professor Eleanor Granger. The people were desperate. They needed answers. Professor Granger had heard of werewolves before, but never thought she'd encounter one. She decided to stay in town and conduct her research to put the townspeople at ease. Professor Granger spent months interviewing the townsfolk, collecting stories, and studying the history of the region. What she found was both fascinating and terrifying. There were old legends dating back to the early settlers about a man who had been cursed to become a werewolf by local native tribes. The curse was said to be passed down through generations, with each werewolf emerging once the previous one had died. The stories were all consistent, though. They pointed to one family, the Walkers.
That's like an interesting kind of take on it, that it's more like a curse.
Mm.
Or, and I guess that's more kind of traditional, but it, as opposed to, like, getting bitten or yes, whatever.
This seems to be a traditional, like, blood curse, not so much, like, spreading it to other people. Henry Walker, the young farmer who had first heard the howl, was a descendant of the cursed family. Unbeknownst to him, the curse had been passed down to him, many theorized. The beast terrorizing the town was suspected to be Henry himself, transformed under the full moon. Professor Granger confronted Henry about the legend surrounding his family. He claimed that the legends were not true. He had no memory of transforming into a werewolf and had never heard any legends like this from any members of his family. But he did mention that he would often have blackouts, waking up in strange places.
That's, I don't know, don't admit that. Like, if you don't think you're the werewolf, don't tell people that.
He said after one blackout, he had woken in a woodland clearing covered in blood and chicken feathers.
Don't admit to these things.
No, apparently he's like, you know what? Fuck it.
You know, I'm not the werewolf, but man, I keep having these blackouts and waking up covered in blood, but I'm not the werewolf.
Over the next few weeks, Henry began to confront the terrible fact that he may in fact be the werewolf. He knew he had two choices. Live with the curse and endanger his town, or find a way to end it. So I'm almost wondering if being confronted by this, I wonder if this guy was like schizophrenic and he was just like having episodes and then he's like, oh, I must be a werewolf.
It had to be, right?
I mean, like, either that or he just was a werewolf, Jay. That's also possible. I suppose anything is possible. According to local legend, a werewolf had to be killed by someone who loved them. It was the only way to end the blood curse forever. Henry's wife, Mary, was devastated when he asked her to kill him. She loved her husband deeply, but she also knew what had to be done. So apparently she's accepted this as well, Jay.
My wife just decided that I'm a werewolf.
On the next full moon, armed with a silver bullet, she waited for Henry to transform. She waited in the clearing, just like Samuel had described. She claimed that she could see the pain in her husband's eyes and that his body began to contort and twist itself like he was fighting the beast within. She raised the rifle, tears streaming down her face. She knew what she had to do. She shot him.
Oh, that's good.
So after she shot Henry, the curse was broken. The town of Woodland slowly returned to normal, but the scars would remain forever. The story of the Walker family became a cautionary tale, a reminder of the darkness that can lurk within everyone. But the story doesn't end there, Jay. The curse of the Walker family had a ripple effect, leaving many questions and mysteries unanswered that would take years to unravel. There are a few interviews about this with Dr. Rebecca Collins I'm going to reference here. She spends her majority of her time studying the legends of the American South.
Okay.
So she explained that the story of the Walker family is a fascinating one, steeped in the rich tradition of Southern folklore. Werewolf legends are not at all uncommon in the South of the United States, which I found interesting.
Yeah, I've
never heard any, but the only thing I heard in reference to werewolves is, like, in Louisiana, there's the Rougarou, which is like a werewolf.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Werewolves are not, legends are not uncommon, and they often reflect the fears and anxieties of the communities that tell them. The American South has a long history of supernatural folklore. There are often cautionary tales warning people about the dangers of wandering into the wilderness, which she believes stems from the fact that the southern wilderness contained many dangerous animals during the early days of colonization. Like, I mean, people stumble off into a swamp, get grabbed by a gator, and are never heard from again.
Right.
That kind of thing. In the case of Talbot County, the story of the Walker family likely evolved from a mix of local legends and real-life events that were passed down through the generations. Dr. Collins believes that the Walker family's prominence in the community and the mysterious circumstances surrounding their lives made their story so enduring. Apparently, the family was always very private and rarely left their mansion. It was also because they were one of the richest families in the area. They may have been, the people may have been looking for a scapegoat to blame the early 1900s economic downturn in the South on.
That makes sense.
She also mentioned that the Walker story taps into several deep-seated human fears. The fear of the unknown, which we talked about. The fear of the dark, dense woodland. The fear of losing control of oneself, embodied by the transformation into a beast that the werewolf legend contains. And then there's also the fear of betrayal and the idea that someone you love could turn into a monster. So the aftermath of Henry Walker's death and its impact on the town of Woodland was felt for many generations afterwards. The town was left to grapple with the trauma of the summer. His death brought a temporary sense of relief, but the scars of the werewolf attack ran deep. Many residents continued to feel uneasy for many years. Many local wolves were hunted. Wolves in the area were hunted almost to extinction because of the legend.
Oh, wow.
The shared experience of facing and overcoming such a threat had forged strong bonds between the remaining residents, however. The story of the Walker family became an integral part of the town's identity, and the grave of Henry Walker became a tourist attraction for many years.
Oh, we're going to have to go. I mean, I don't know how far it is, but we might have to go.
I believe it is fairly far, is what I'm thinking. Although, I will tell you, Georgia does have a Buc-ee's, Jay.
Oh, man. I do love Buc-ee's.
I could go to Buc-ee's.
I mean, we went to the Villisca Axe Murder House here, local place of legend, and went to the cemetery, and then just couldn't locate where all the graves were, so we just turned around and left. Which, I mean, I get. Like, yeah, maybe you don't want people traipsing
too many people. Yeah. So there is an interview with a woman who lives in the area now called Anna Mitchell. Growing up in Woodland, we'd all heard the story of the Walker family as something our parents told us to keep us from wandering too far off into the woods at night. But it also made us proud in a strange way, knowing that our town had faced something so frightening and come through it. There is an annual ceremony we hold on the anniversary of Henry Walker's death to honor our history and remember the strength of our community. Another resident of the town, Tom Edwards, says, "For us, the Walker story is more than just a legend. It's a piece of our heritage. It reminds us of the strength and resilience of our ancestors. Every time we tell the story, it's like we're keeping a part of them alive. It's a way to pass down important lessons about courage, community, and the danger of the unknown to our children." So the Walker family story, though rooted in fear and tragedy, has become a source of strength and identity for the people of Woodland. It's a testament to the power of storytelling and the ways in which we make sense of our world through narratives. As we come to the end of this story, we should reflect on the dangers of demonizing a family or any community demonizing a member for local occurrences. It's a story of fear and resilience and enduring power of the community, but also of hate and, I believe, probably persecution of mental illness, what I've gathered about Henry Walker is true.
I mean, man, that's still a thing we grapple with. Is shit we grapple with still today. Like,
but that's all I've got for the Beast of Talbot County, Jay.
I mean, that's neat. That's a very interesting story. Now, it would be kind of cool to go, potentially visit the werewolf's grave. Although, I'm not sure this guy was necessarily a werewolf.
I mean, like I said, it's always possible that he was actually a werewolf, but I'm guessing he was probably some form of mentally ill. And this professor confronting him about being a werewolf probably fed that delusion into his own.
Yeah.
And but the thing that really gets me is his wife actually killed him. And I think they had some other problems going on probably than just being a werewolf. But,
Don't you hate it when your wife kills you because she thinks you're a werewolf?
It's hard on me, Jay. My wife believes I could be such a scary werewolf. All right. Uh-oh, Jay. The Quizmaster's here.
Uh-oh. Well, real fast, I don't know, favorite werewolf movies?
Oh, yeah, that's true. We should talk a little bit about that. I love the Underworld series. I love their werewolves, especially the prequel that takes place in, like, a medieval setting, Rise of the Lycans.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, The Howling, good one.
The Howling 2?
Yes, The Howling 2.
which is less good, but interesting.
Well, I mean, it's good in a different way, Jay.
My, I saw The Howling 2 with my brother, actually down in Georgia, strangely.
Huh.
He was teaching at Emory University at the time. That's right, listeners. My brother is way smarter and way more successful than I'll ever be. And he... he's like, oh, The Howling 2, let's watch that. And so we watched the whole movie, you know, just had a blast laughing our asses off. And then the credits, that's just that woman ripping her top off over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And my brother's just dying. Like, he's like, why are they still showing this?
Well, you know, the original title, because isn't it Your Sister's a Werewolf in America?
I think so, yeah.
The original title it ran under in England is Stirbo Werewolf Bitch. Which I think is a more accurate title for the movie.
Oh, man. But yeah, The Howling, great, great werewolf transformation scenes. Great kind of great werewolf stuff. Same with American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
Probably the most iconic werewolf transformation scene.
Another good one, Ginger Snaps. If you can stand a Canadian movie.
I know you love those old, like the old Universal monsters.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The wolf, those, classic wolf man.
Those are all good. What's that one? Dog Soldiers. If you've never seen Dog Soldiers, that's a good one.
What's the, did we get like a wolf man movie recently? I don't like, like maybe like Anthony Hopkins was supposed to be in it or something.
Oh, there was like a remake of the classic wolf man. That was like, I want to say like 2014, 2015. But yes, there was supposed to be a new werewolf movie, but yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to see the light of day or not.
And then with the whole Universal Dark Universe thing, unfortunately.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on the Dark Universe, Jay.
It's both dumb, but also a really cool idea.
I was going to say, it could have been really good, but okay, so Dracula Untold is not a great movie, but it was an okay movie. And I think they could have probably continued on after that if it hadn't been the Tom Cruise Mummy right after that.
And then also, like, I think one of my issues was, like, calling it The Mummy.
Yeah.
And I think people were kind of expecting the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies. Yes. Like,
well, they were expecting that, and they were expecting... they were kind of expecting, because of the title character supposedly being the monster in every movie, that Tom Cruise was going to be a mummy for the entire movie, but he's not a mummy until the end of the movie.
Right.
So that also kind of let people down. And also, you know, Tom Cruise's terrible mummy movie killed any chance I had of seeing Fat Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
But you do, you get to see Fat Russell Crowe as the Pope's exorcist.
Yes.
And in that
the new exorcism movie. I want to see that. That looks way better.
That looked awesome. Oh, man. But no, speaking of Dark Universe real fast, they're building a whole theme park around it at Universal Studios.
I believe so, yes. Finally.
Which that would be cool to go see. I'd actually really, the stuff I've seen sounds awesome.
We'll have to do a Universal Studios trip someday to see all the classic monster stuff.
Well, yeah, once that gets made, I think that has to be on the list at some point.
But as far as other werewolf movies go, I'm pretty sure that's all I've got as far as top werewolf movies. There's some other like B movies I've seen that have been okay, like the Nazi werewolf one I mentioned before.
You know, the one where you and I are both looking forward to, Werewolf Santa.
Yes.
At some point, that'll pop up on the list.
That will be amazing when that happens.
With Joe Bob in it.
All right, Jay. You've dodged it long enough.
Let's do it.
The quiz master is here. Are you more Jennifer or Needy, Jay, from Jennifer's Body?
I'm probably more Needy. I don't know.
All right, here we go. We're going to find out. This quiz, by the way, has been approved and edited by the BuzzFeed community team. Pick a word, Jay. Feared or ferocious?
Like, just pick a word?
Yeah, pick one.
I don't know. I guess ferocious? I don't know.
Jay's ferocious. All right.
I didn't know I was using it to describe... Well, neither of those describe me.
Pick a number, Jay.
49 or 14.
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, let's see. 49 was Comedy Central here on cable here in Des Moines. We'll go with that.
Pick a food, Jay.
Let's see. We got steak and we got
salmon.
Ooh, I do like a good salmon. I'm more of a steak guy.
Steak guy. Okay. I think we're gonna end up being needy over here. Yeah.
All right, pick a mom, and it's Amy Sedaris. Well, yeah, I'm going to pick Amy Sedaris as my mom.
Tiger or deer, Jay?
Tiger or deer? Pick a baked good.
Yeah.
French toast and cake.
Yeah.
I mean, out of the as someone who's hit a deer with their car on at least one occasion, I guess I'll go with a tiger.
Okay. Pick a Hogwarts house.
Oh no. off the air before this, Jeff and I were yelling at each other about Harry Potter. Not at each other. That implies we were at odds. We were talking in.
We were having a spirited discussion about the demerits of Harry Potter.
Yeah, about why it's bad. I guess, I mean, my favorite house is Slytherin. I guess it's Slytherin.
All right. Slytherin. Jay's evil. Confirmed.
They have the best colors. Green and silver are the best colors.
Yeah, I mean, they look, their uniforms are the coolest. All right, lose a sense, Jay. You gotta not be able to taste or not be able to touch.
Ooh, weird. Not be able to taste. I mean, I like eating. Why isn't it like taste or like, I don't know, like smell? Like, oh, I have COVID, so I've got both. I guess I'd lose touch. I don't know.
You don't ever feel anybody touching you ever again?
I don't know. I mean, I sometimes don't like being touched, so.
All right. Pick a power, Jay.
Ooh, telekinesis or telepathy? So able to, like, read minds or able to move things with your mind. Or if you're X-Men, somehow it becomes both.
Yeah.
Let's go with telekinesis. I don't want to know what other people think about me.
I was going to say, that could be dangerous. Pick a genre, Jay. Comedy, horror, action, or romance?
I mean, this is a horror movie podcast. It's probably horror.
That's what I would have guessed for you. And finally, pick an element. Earth, fire, water, or air.
All right, so I'm gonna tell a story. When I got out of college, my friends and I, my roommates, we all watched all of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and I watched some of Korra. Didn't finish. We got caught up to where Korra was, but we never finished watching Korra.
Yeah.
But while we were talking about stuff, like I was like, oh, man, the Firebenders seem so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when they do when they meet like the ancient Firebenders and blah blah blah. Yeah. And then my friends go, you'd be an airbender, though. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because, like, you'd just be, like, pulling pranks on people with airbending powers.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I had to guess bending power for you, I think I would go airbender.
And so, all that to say, I guess I'm going to go with air. Even though the bloodbender was probably the coolest character in all of Avatar.
Oh, you're Jennifer.
Oh, all right. I'm Megan Fox.
Uh-oh. Jay always said what he would do first if he was Megan Fox. I'll look away.
I don't know. something.
All right. Now.
I was trying to come up with a joke there that wasn't the gross thing. get away from Machine Gun Kelly. That's the first thing I would do.
All right, Jay. You don't want to know something?
What's up?
I want to know which one of Jigsaw's apprentices you would be.
Oh, all right. Let's do that.
Do you believe that there's something in your life that Jigsaw would test you for, Jay?
I mean, probably.
Absolutely. We all have something. Yes, but I don't need to be tested. Perhaps I've carelessly neglected myself or I neglect others.
Absolutely. There's something we all
have to account for.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe in redemption and second chances? Everyone deserves one. We make mistakes, but not all of us deserve one. No, there are some things that can't be fixed. Sure, but people need to be punished for their mistakes. I would want a second chance, so yes.
The one that was kind of like, some people deserve it, but not, like, there's some things that you can't come back from. I don't remember.
We make mistakes, but not all of us deserve second chances.
Yeah.
Choose a quote. Most people are so ungrateful to be alive, but not you, not anymore.
Jeff, you got to read it in your Jigsaw voice.
Most people are so ungrateful to be alive, but you, not anymore. When you're in hell, only the devil can help you out. Death is a surprise party, unless, of course, you're already dead on the inside. When you're good at anticipating the human mind, you leave nothing to chance.
It's me, Tobin Bell.
Live or die. Make your choice.
I like the one about the party, but everyone's dead on the inside.
Death is a surprise party. Unless, of course, you're already dead on the inside.
Yep, that one.
I knew that was going to be a Jay Logsdon choice as soon as I read it. If revenge was presented to you, would you take the opportunity? Yes, they do not deserve to live free after what they did. Maybe. I'm not sure if I can go through with it, but I might. No, I would be no better than them. Yes, I want the justice that was never served. Or no, it's not in my nature to be vengeful.
Probably maybe.
Maybe. I could see that.
Yeah.
It really depends on what
they
did.
Me and Aaliyah Shawkat, maybe.
It would really depend on what they did, yeah. All right. Last one, Jay. Make your choice.
Live or die, make your choice.
Make your choice, Jay. Fate, loyalty, pride, justice, or revenge?
Probably justice.
Justice.
Like Batman.
Justice.
Justice! Where's the Joker?
Where's the bomb?
Man, this is gonna be a really loud episode. I apologize, yeah. Listeners.
Jay, you are Amanda Young.
All right, I'm okay with that.
I could see Jay as an Amanda Young.
Yeah, she's what's her name from Becker.
Yeah,
gets to hang out with Ted Danson.
All right, we've done two quizzes, Jay. Now we will review a BuzzFeed list of 10 movies that will give you the heebie-jeebies, even if you've already seen them 100 times, and see if we agree.
All right, let's see.
All right. Number one, The Haunting.
Like the British, like the 90s, 2000s?
The 1963 Haunting of Hill House inspired movie. You've probably seen the 1999 remake or the Netflix series.
But I have seen the 1999 remake. I believe it has one Christopher Catan in it.
Have you seen the original?
I have not.
Okay, it's pretty good. I wouldn't say, though, it's not very scary based on modern standards.
Is the, am I thinking of the right movie? I'm gonna look it up real fast. Because there's also, I think there is, like, the movie The Haunting, which, like, came out in, also in, like, the 90s, but it was a, oh my gosh. So that one, maybe I'm thinking of a different one. What's the one with Chris Kattan in it, then? Chris Kattan horror movies.
I know the movie you're talking about, but I can't remember. It's something about being
House haunted. On Haunted Hill. Oh, that's okay. That's what I was thinking. Man, they have similar names. No, The Haunting. I've actually been to the house that house was filmed in.
Ah.
When my family was in Grantham, England, or around Grantham, England, my uncle taught at Harlaxton Manor for a period, and we went over and visited. And it turns out that is where they were filming the 1999 The Haunting movie.
Mm.
And so I spent time in there, thought that castle was really creepy and 100% could have been haunted. Like, there was a time where, like, I swear I saw like a window, like, part, even though there was, like, no one in the room. Like, we were standing outside and, like, saw someone, like, kind of, like, move the thing, but there was no one in the room or whatever. And just a real creepy thing. There was a large staircase that, like, the bottom floor was red, and, like, there were demons on, like, gargoyles on every like landing or whatever.
Yeah.
And then as you, like, walked up, when you got to the top, it was all blue and there were angels and stuff. And then when you, like, kind of looked up, there was like statues that, like, stared down at you that were, like, God and angels and shit like that. It was a wild manor to stay in.
That sounds really cool.
But all that to say, like, no, my aunt then, like, sent me a newspaper article that was like, yeah, you know, they made a horror movie in that manor you stayed in. Cool. And so that was, and I think I saw it, although I was not a huge fan of that movie.
Well, I think you would like the 1963 one if you tried it.
And I watched the first episode of the Netflix series. House on Haunted Hill, though, with Chris Kattan. Great movie.
All right, number two, Jay. Silence of the Lambs. I don't agree. This movie does not give me the heebie-jeebies.
Doesn't give me the heebie-jeebies. And as I said, you know, I saw it way too young.
Yeah.
And so, it just kind of makes me chuckle when I watch it.
Jay's favorite movie, 2015's The Vavitch.
Oh, man. You know, I've not seen the Vavitch as much as I talk about it. I've not seen it, but I've heard it's great.
It's a good movie, but it does not give me the heebie-jeebies. So I also disagree with BuzzFeed. Frailty from 2001. You seen that one?
Uh-uh.
Bill Paxton movie.
Okay.
It's really good. I'm not going to say anything about it because to tell you too much about it would spoil it. But I would agree. This one does give you the heebie-jeebies, so I'll give them 1 point so far. The Black Coat's Daughter, Jay.
Not seen it. I know that it's made by Oz Perkins, our Mr. Longlegs himself.
Yeah, I don't agree. This did not give me the heebie-jeebies. Longlegs also did not give me the heebie-jeebies.
The next one's Longlegs. Oops.
Fallen, Jay, from 1998. Have you seen that?
I have not.
You have not seen Fallen. So Denzel Washington and John Goodman are partner cops.
Oh, already I need to see it.
You need to see it. So they can't figure out why there have been so many similar murders over and over again, because they've caught the guy who was doing it, supposedly. It's because he was possessed by, and now the demon has hopped to another person.
Okay.
And so it's a demon doing these serial killings, and they slowly come to realize that there's a supernatural element to what's going on.
Oh, man, yeah, I gotta see that. And John Goodman and Denzel, I gotta see that.
Yes, you really do. Okay, so I will agree. That one does kind of give you the heebie-jeebies, because the performance given by the person playing the demon is really good. So I give them 2 points out of 10 so far. Paranormal Activity 1 and 2, no.
There are parts, certainly of the first one, less so the second one. There are parts of the first one that do kind of like make your hair kind of stand up on end. You know, so, like the rocking over the bed at night scene. And like,
no, I agree. The first time you watch those, but if you've watched it 100 times, I don't think it's going to give you the heebie-jeebies.
And the second one I saw in theaters, I saw it in Nova, which for... Jeff knows, but for listeners not from Iowa, that was like the second run theater.
Yes.
But it was like really cheap, like maybe $5 tickets.
$5 tickets, sometimes even like $2 tickets, depending on the movie.
And like free popcorn and pop, like really, really, really kind of neat theater. That's also where I saw Cabin in the Woods. But anyway, back to Paranormal Activity 2, I went and saw it. And there were, like, a group of high school kids sitting in front of us just having the traditional, like, high school kid experience, yelling and screaming and, like, you know, freaking out and everything. And it just, they made the movie so much more enjoyable, how much they were, like, getting scared by the things in the movie. Yeah.
You know, it's definitely, Paranormal Activity movies should be seen with other people, because if you watch it by yourself, you're going to be like, huh. Oh, yeah, cool.
You're going to be like, man, this nature is getting really violent.
Yeah, this nature really is violent. Whatever Happened to Baby Jane from 1962.
Okay, yeah, I could see that one.
It does give you the heebie-jeebies a little bit. I guess I'll give them half a point, so they're 2.5. I wouldn't say that one is, I don't know, if I watched it 100 times, I don't know. Sinister from 2012, Jay.
No.
No. I'm going to give that a straight no. And lastly, The Descent. Yes, The Descent does give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. And I think part of that's the
claustrophobic nature of being underground. Yep. Yes, I agree. But yes, that one, it's not so much, the cannibal cave freaks. It's actually being stuck underground thing that gets me.
Now, I saw that thing about the guy who, like, fell into a hole and landed, like, face first and suffocated. Like, that popped back up on my thing. And I just went, no, like, I don't need to hear about this. Like, that's terrifying. All right,
so BuzzFeed, you get 3.5 out of 10. So, you know, your usual rate.
You know, movies, I'm trying to think, like, movies that give me the heebie-jeebies, even though, like, I've seen them, like, you know, 100 times. And the only one that, like, the one for me that jumped straight to my mind was Black Christmas. Like, that movie, you know, Billy's phone calls still, you know, make my hair stand on end, even though, I've seen this movie more times than maybe I've seen any other movie. But I was trying to think of, like, other ones, and I'm like, maybe the first Halloween?
Well, let's say there's two in the honorable mention section they didn't include on the list that would have been better. Midsommar, that one gives you creepy vibes throughout the movie, I would say.
I agree with that, and especially when if you don't notice like some of the weird stuff in the background, like
The Strangers. Jay can't even watch that movie.
No, I'd say that movie gives
that would have been better on the list. The Ring, that probably would have been better on the list, yeah. Even though it doesn't give me the heebie-jeebies personally. I could see how it would. The Conjuring. The first Conjuring.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the best. I don't know that it gives me the heebie-jeebies, but that one,
I could see
that's
it.
The best one.
I could see it, though, being included on a list like this over some of this other crap that put on there. All right, well, the Quizmaster is fading back, but I have heard, Jay, that you're going to be getting a visit from the spirit beyond the grave for subverting the will of the wheel once again.
Yeah, I. Speaking of the Conjuring, I chose not to do the Conjuring 2. It popped up on the wheel.
Boo. Boo, Jay Logsdon, boo.
I mean, we could, you know, I don't want to talk. One, it's another sequel. It's it would be the third sequel in a row. And two, like, I don't know. I wasn't in the mood to do The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out what consequences befall us for subverting the will of the wheel.
I don't want to talk about Valak. Mm-hmm. Possessing a painting and pushing a lady through a wall.
Oh, come on, Jay. It's one of your most entertaining moments of the 2010s.
It's the funniest movie. It's the funniest scene in that movie. Oh, my gosh. And then that set the precedent. Well, no, I guess the first Abigail set the precedent for something silly happening in every movie in the Conjuring universe. Because that's the one where the little girl runs across the hall, the door swings shut, and then the grown woman bursts through the door. Anyway, I believe The Conjuring 2, that was the one where my wife, like, told me to sit down and shut up. Was the painting pushing the lady through the door.
I was
going to
say, Jay Logsdon embarrassed his wife in a horror movie by laughing so much. When Jay Logsdon says the first Abigail, he means the first Annabelle.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Abigail, you're better than that. I can't even remember my haunted doll movies over here.
Oh, my God. What about Inthrigan?
Anyway. Oh, yeah, Abigail's she's kind of a doll. She's a ballerina girl. Anyway.
She's a real doll, folks. Yeah, doll.
Yeah. anyway, all that to say, we're doing Better Watch Out.
You better watch out, Jay.
It's great. I'm excited for Jeff to see it. Warning now, if you do watch along with us or plan on watching, don't watch the trailer. Just watch the movie. The trailer spoils the entire movie. So, all right,
well, I'll make sure not to watch that then before we watch.
So, yes, just watch the movie because it's absolutely worth your time, and you kind of miss the whole twist, I guess.
What a twist!
A better twist than M. Night has done in in years. In this movie, which is not made by M. Night Shyamalan.
But is it an M. Night Shyamalan experience?
It's not an experience. I mean, it is kind of an experience, but it's not an M. Night Shyamalan experience.
Is it a Francis Ford Coppola experience?
Nope, it's not a Megalopolis either.
Is it an Adam Driver?
Yeah, it could be an Adam Driver.
Are there Adam Drivers in this?
It's a Patrick Warburton.
Oh.
A Patty Warbucks. All that to say, it's great. Get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts on werewolves and Jennifer's body and... all the other stuff we talked about. Man, I love Jennifer's Body. That's a great movie. And you know, everything else we talked about. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com, or get in touch with us on social media. We are at @horror4holidays in all the places.
Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the notification bell. Leave us a YouTube comment. We check those fairly regularly. So if you want an answer to a question, leave it there.
5-star review on your podcatcher of choice. You know, help spread the word. Leave a review. All that good stuff. Subscribe there.
5 stars. Jeff is actually the beast of Talbot County.
I can see it. Also, tell a friend. You know, like we've said, I think that's the best way to spread word about a podcast.
Definitely.
And other than that, yeah, we'll be back on our bullshit Christmas horror movies next week with Better Watch Out, and then another stocking stuffer, probably to talk about that new M. Night Shyamalan experience.
Oh boy.
I've not been on PlayStation. I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast, we had a tornado pass through my neighborhood. Did we mention that?
Yes, we did talk about that.
Okay. And so all that to say, I lost power for an extended amount of time. And then when I got it back, I've not plugged my PlayStation back in. So if anyone has added us on PlayStation, and they were like, when the hell are they gonna...
We'll find out soon.
Get on. I do plan on getting on soon, but we are also there, Horror, the Number 4 Holidays. Also, thanks to the Christmas Podcast Network for helping promote us and including us in their family of podcasts.
Indeed. We'll be making some sort of appearance on the network before too long, Jay. Yeah,
very, very shortly here to talk about a movie Jeff and I both love. Anyway, well, we'll let Totally Rad Christmas spoil that when it happens.
Happy birthday, Christmas. Well,
Jeff just spoiled it.
Only if they know what I'm talking about, Jay.
All right. We'll see you again next week. Bye.
Bye.